Experience the power of hands-on learning with CloudShare. Want to build a truly impactful customer education program? Hands-on learning is key, but traditional labs are both expensive and cumbersome. Introducing CloudShare, the cloud-based platform that lets you create secure, scalable training labs in just minutes. Imagine giving your customers, partners, and employees a safe, hands-on environment to learn your software, creating compelling, engaging experiences that wow your users, eliminating the hassle and the cost of managing physical labs. CloudShare empowers you to deploy customized learning environments in just minutes, provide access to the latest software versions and configurations, track progress and gather valuable insights, and even more, collaborate with your students. With CloudShare, your training program goes from ordinary to extraordinary. Check them out today at cloudshare.com. Hi, everybody, and welcome to CLAB, the Customer Education Laboratory. That's got a special meeting today, where we explore how to build customer education, scalable customer success programs, experiment with new approaches, and my favorite phrase here, exterminate the myths, the bad advice you're getting that stops your growth dead in its tracks. And you know me, Dave Darrington, and today I'm really excited. Our friend Jeremy Davis. Jeremy, hello. You're from CloudShare. Tell us a little bit about you and your role at CloudShare, and then we'll get into a great discussion today.
Awesome. I'm excited to be on here. Listen to your podcast before. Really great. It's really great. So I'm the head of product marketing here at CloudShare. So for me, it's my role is connecting to the product, connecting to marketing, but also connecting to like what drives the customer, what drives customer education people. It gives me really a unique place in being able to understand what's happening, trends in the market, trends in the product, and obviously trends overall in technology. So I'm excited to share what I've learned here.
You're in a great place, Jeremy, and we've worked together for some time. This is a culmination of all of that. Before we get started, I'm actually going to close my window here because it's loud now. They seem to like to do outside work in my apartment building when I'm talking on a podcast. So we always start off with a slow pitch. It's the International Day of, and today, of all things, you can see in my background, it's World Bicycle Day. I think that's a great one to kick it off. Do you do any biking?
I did. I actually used to bike when I was my previous company. I used to bike to the office all the time. Put my kid on the back of the bike. Drop her off at kindergarten, then bike the rest of the way to work. It was great.
Oh, did you have one of those things where you had the extended back on it?
And exactly.
Manual, or did you have an assist?
I don't know. I just had clapped it on, and then I put the kid on top of it. It was just like one of those little seats.
Oh, I love those. We need to bring that back. And a lot of places, at least in the United States here, the distances are so far to go to work that hasn't happened. But since I moved to Seattle, it's been a lot more fun. I used to bike every day to work and need to get back to it. Well, cool. Biking aside, I need to get the flat tires pumped up and go for a trip. But right now, let me level set, talk about what we're going to discuss today with our audience. So this has been a fun journey for me. And you can see I even have the CloudShare shirt. Yes. I've got my actual lab coat from the analytical lab that I used to work at. It stains and all. Well, doesn't have any acid on it or anything. But no, it's been cool. We've gotten to know each other over the past year really well. And what I was really excited about over last year, I went to DevLearn with you all and spent time on the floor with your team. This was one of those times I was in the middle of different work before I started Atlassian. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to stand there on the floor, talk to prospects, talk to customers, and even more than Kevin on your team was one of your main solution architects or sales folks that was doing demos all day long.
Yeah, I saw he's a machine. He's amazing.
he is a machine, and you don't get these opportunities much, Jeremy, to actually dive in and see all of that, but also hear that triangulation of what people are talking about and what they're asking about. So today, what I wanted to do is pull forward from that experience at DevLearn and really get into talking about your platform. And but even more, bubble that up a little bit about what is a virtual lab? Because and throughout this, I'm going to channel the me that was 10 years ago, me that was getting into customer education. Like many of you, if I'll break the fourth wall here and talk to you in the audience, like, you might be where I am at, and you're starting in a program, you're figuring things out for the first time. Labs are going to come up. They're going to be really important depending on your space. So, all right, you ready to go? We're going to start getting into some questions and some thoughts.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, it's interesting also you talk about it, and we haven't even dived into it, but, you know, we had a meetup last week, actually, with customer educators in Israel, and it's amazing how many people were like, oh, this sounds like an amazing concept, these virtual labs. Like, this is something I haven't even talked about before. You know, building an academy, it's like, you know, some people who are just getting into the customer education space, and they don't realize, you know, they were in customer success or they're in, you know, teaching, like some people come from, and they're like, what, this is an amazing concept.
Right. Was there anything in that really struck them as was not just an amazing concept, but this is why? What were the things that they were taking away from that meetup?
Well, they were taking away, a lot of them were taking away the fact that, like, okay, we can make this into a true program for our students that allows them to get hands-on with, you know, our software in a way that until then they were doing Zoom, they were doing, you know, Google Meet, they were doing, you know, physically flying out to the places and being like, here, I'm going to run a lab for you, run a class for you and how to teach you how to use it. And it's like, there's a tool there that can teach you.
Okay. You've done such a good job setting that up, actually, Jeremy, because and like I think I said when we were pre-gaming and talking about this, there's that group of people you were talking to is where I was about a decade ago, where here I am in a software company, and I'm not going to get all the things in my history apart from I've been an educator in a classroom, right? But here I am working with software, and I go, well, most of the time you're doing a webinar or you're just talking about it or you're just showing. And now to train people, particularly with platforms that are a lot more complicated, if you don't have time on that application and have time to, like I said, fail, you know, screw things up, play with things, kick the tires, try things and not necessarily get the outcomes here and be in a safe space, there is nothing like that to make a product really sticky and shine, particularly when what we're going to get to, how your application works. That's a really great point. So I'm speaking and we're speaking to all of you who are in that space. You are on Zoom, your GoToWebinar, GoToMeet, whatever, any kind of app you want to use. And now you're saying, okay, well, pull up your app and let's follow me through. Cool. But that's not good enough, right? We need to go a little further. We need to actually use it.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I mean, I remember actually we had a webinar recently with somebody who's in cybersecurity space. And he said when he first started working the company, they were like, you know, like you said, fly out, teach it. This is how we're going to do it. And he's like, let me do something right now. I'm going to do a webinar. We're going to teach them. I'm going to invite, do a class that's like 700 people. That's again, how he did it initially 10 years ago was just webinar. You know, they were like, we don't have to do this in person. Let's do it digitally. And so the first step was a Zoom webinar, you know? Again, this was a number of years ago, so it was kind of even then groundbreaking. And then once he got the buy-in from his executives, he's like, let me go the next step. Let's do a virtual lab. Let's get them hands-on.
Right. That's a good setting because that's a good way to frame it up. And let's channel that again. What's changed is COVID hit us hard, and not in just a way of of, oh, we were stuck in a house for all the time, that entire time, but it hit us because the tooling, the way the approaches we made, the amount of money that they spent to send us on the road, the train to go to their client, which was awfully fun in a lot of cases, but it was exhausting. And then you're setting up a room. You've got everybody put your laptops up. I've got a stage. You know, we're all here so I can go back to that me, that former me, who was a, well, you've been for sure in these classrooms, Jeremy, where you're at a university or you're at a training center, community, whatever it is, and you have 30, 40, 50 PCs in a room. They're all, the IT has set them up. You've got the software on them. They're imaged. And sometimes you even have a place where I had a control unit in the front and I can go, okay, Jeremy, you have a teaching moment right here. You've done something that's really cool. I'm going to bring that up on the board. Or I would have to say, hey, everybody come group around me. And we'd all get up and go over to Jeremy's desktop and we'd see what you were doing. And now in 10 years' time, everything is fundamentally different. It's so powerful. And that's what I'd like to break it down and have you help with me with that today.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do this. I want to start off with a phrase that comes from your platform, your website, virtual training and demos in less time than it takes to finish your coffee. And that hits me because, well, unpack that for me a little bit, if you would. I'm just dropping that there because I think that is a value prop.
Sure. Yeah, it definitely is. It's part of what drives people to want to use us. And again, it's a value prop that, you know, we took from conversations directly with our customers to understand, you know, for anybody who's in marketing out there, the voice of the customer is probably one of the most powerful things you can use in any tool. What it means is to be able to spin up a simulation or a replica of your, environment, sometimes it can take a lot of time. It can take a lot of resources. And that can happen if you're using, let's say, an AWS, or you're using, cloud system, or if you're trying to use your own internal system. And I've heard customers say, in the previous system we use, it would take 12 hours to create an environment ready to go to send out to students. And what we've been able to build is a virtual lab that allows you to create an environment in literally 5 minutes. You can click, 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 click. You hit, choose this, choose that, choose the other thing. You hit click to go, and you have your environment ready to go. And what I think the most appealing, one of the more appealing aspects is, it's also easy to use. The learning curve is lower, so that even non-technical users are getting involved in it. Instructional designers who are not necessarily, going to be the most technical individuals, though they are, but they might not have all the skills to create an environment or spin up an environment or feel comfortable enough. And they're going to, sometimes they'd be like, oh, can the IT staff help me build it? They can do it themselves. So, which is, a huge lift on the burden on your IT staff when they don't have to work on things that they don't want to work on, or they don't have the time for. And then your training staff doesn't have to be like, oh, I couldn't create this environment or couldn't create this thing in time because the IT staff was dealing with other issues that are going on in the company. No, you can do it yourself here, and the speed is really key.
So bear with me for a moment, because in this, what I would really like to do first, before we go in all the use cases and the kind of things that your platform does, is actually back up a bit.
Yeah.
Because all of the things you've just said opens up a space for, like you said, an instructional designer can do this now. And if I go back to an earlier self where I had spent many years in IT, decade, and I had been that person who was often partnering with IT to make images of a lab environment. This goes all the way back. I remember working in a plant. I used to work, this is where I got this thing. I used to work in a Mallinckrodt pharmaceutical plant, St. Louis, Missouri. And one of my jobs was enabling our team to use software. And it was so hard, Jeremy, it was so hard because if I hadn't been such good friends, become friends with my IT team, such that we spent time out of work to hang out and stuff. And we were kind of vibing, and I was trying to get to them to understand, okay, we need to do this testing. We need to get everybody up to speed. I need these computers. I need to set up. So what would I do? I would first get the computers. I'd put them in a physical space. I'd get them set up. I'd make it so that we could log in. Okay, that's a big pain in the butt. Then I would go and say, oh, well, okay, now we've got to install the software. This is tricky because on a physical machine, that's a one-time deal. Then it was one, I'd install it. And after I do the stuff, well, I'd have to reset it and clean it up, right? It wasn't just gone and I can create a new one. It was, I physically had to do the work. So I'm on there with people putting the software in, doing all the stuff. Do we have the data that we need? Load that on the computer, test that. Like you said, hours, right?
Yeah.
Many hours of setting up. I'd say take a couple days before the class to do that. I have to do this over and over again. And then it's getting people there, signing them up, making sure they're going to show up. All of that stuff, all of the artifacts going into that were complicated. Not to speak of, I was the one creating the content too. So I was in effect that instructional designer that had the workbook, all the exercises, and I get everything in place. What a pain in the butt. And now, if you think about that, the terms that people don't really, I don't think always grok immediately is, okay, virtual lab. This is not like a physical laboratory. This is an environment similar where I can do things and play, and it's contained, right? I can clean it up. The other thing that is interesting about that is you've got technology behind it, a concept of what we might call a virtual machine, right? There's your AWS. It's basically like a computer in the cloud. And now, unlike the task that I did before, where I had a physical CD or DVD, stick it in the computer, do all the things, it's ready to go. I made it. Yep. I did it once. I cloned it, and now it's sitting there with all of the software and the things that I need. So, getting over that, those are a lot easier now because, for example, you could, I imagine, well, I know, go into cloud share, say, okay, I need this image on this OS, download that, install the things, boom, copy it, clone it, and now we're ready. That's not that hard for me to do as a normal person. Yeah.
Right? Exactly.
Tracking on all that, is that all?
No, that's correct. And again, I think you touched on a lot of points also there of, you know, who should be using it, and we can get into that a little later of like, you know, people, you know, where it can go. We have, you know, mentioned the demo aspect where an AE who is always afraid of technology in a lot of ways, they're like, well, I'll have my SE run a demo, but they, you know, I'll have somebody else handle that. But they can be able to do it as well, or you can go in that way, or you can go a training way. So again, it's opened up the possibilities for a lot of different use cases. You know, the term that's always scary is some people use, oh, it's a sandbox environment. But as soon as somebody says sandbox, they use that term, they're like, oh, well, you know, sandbox for developers, not for me, the trainer. It's for somebody else, mm-hmm. for something more, you know, our goal at CloudShare is to bring that down to, it's something that your entire team, your entire department, or even your entire business, all your several your business users can all use, no matter their level of technological advancement. Obviously, they should be able to use a mouse and a keyboard. Hopefully they're at that level. But you know, they, you know, beyond that, you don't have to be extremely technically savvy to build up a hands-on environment that works for everybody.
Yeah, and that's, now I can talk about put my Atlassian hat on, and I can say we use this Atlassian, right? And we need labs to be able to take people through very complex scenarios, particularly administrators who, just to be frank, they can screw things up for the bad, right? When you're setting up configurations and, oh my God, I did something wrong. Oh my God, I'm in a production environment. No, you're in a lab. It's safe. It's contained. Go screw things up. Mm-hmm. So that lowers the bar for training and elevates the opportunities we have to have many touch points. My daughter just went through, you know, driver's ed and all of the things, all of the practice, all of the experiences. She had lab simulations for that too. It was really cool to see.
That's awesome.
Okay. Let's go further now. And what I'd like to do, we've set the stage. I think that's I think we all know, okay, there's tech behind this. Don't be afraid. That's why Cloud Share is here. And I wanted to hear you talk a little bit about the story. Where did Cloud Share get its start? I mean, who are the founders? What were they thinking? When was this all happening? And then I've got some, I want to do some storytelling here to learn a little bit more about the people and the people behind the brand and how you got to here.
Yeah. So it's interesting. It's actually an interesting story. So the company started, I think we're now 15 years ago with our current CEO and our founder, Svi Guterman. And he had this idea of, you know, creating the virtual lab as kind of, it's more towards the infrastructure side initially, before he realized where it could be, where it can go. Huh. And he actually had backing from several, you know, major VCs. And at, you know, he likes to tell it that the last minute they're working on a big merger deal. Obviously for VCs, it's not about growth. It's about what can I sell you for and make a lot of money. A deal fell through and he went and he used literally $3 and they were like, okay, well, we're shutting it down. And he said no. And he bought the company back from them. He bought it back from them. Again, he has an incredible, both, you know, he's previously worked on, he created a previous company. So he has the technology, he has the knowledge, business knowledge, and he goes, we're going to start this from scratch. Bought it back from them and rebuilt the company from nothing to where it is today, where we just got a major deal with Bow River Capital, who invested now into, they see our future, they see where we can take this, they become a major investor as well. So we're giving us, like, you know, obviously the fuel and the injection to grow even further where we are for today. And from there, we've actually, you know, from going from scratch, he's built it up, gone through different pay models, gone through different, technologies, visions of where it can go. And we've really, at this point, we have an amazing customer base where we get incredible feedback and have really built it for education and for sales enablement users. So we went from just that virtual lab itself that could be easily spun up, virtual machine, to something that, you yourself mentioned, customer educators can use to be able to really train their students to learn, and not just to learn, but also, we thought at the higher level of, okay, how can this help your customer success model? You've gone from, obviously customer education itself has evolved so much over the years. So we're keeping up with those trends of how do we keep making everyone happy and how do we keep making sure it's not just impactful, but you can measure the impact. You can see the impact in your day to day, because it went from, the users are just solutions engineers looking for an easy solution to, customer success, even customer success or customer training, even some companies with, some year places under the revenue, to drive revenue and be a major part of your business. So we've evolved over the years.
That's good to hear. So you're saying then, well, how your customers are using Cloud Share, you've already enumerated some of them, but it could be, I've got partner training to do, right?
Yeah.
Technical training, administrator training, a hands-on demo where I could say, hey, go try it out, kick the tires. You don't have to worry about it. It's right there.
Exactly.
Safe environments for end users. Cybersecurity is a big one where you could do simulations. So you definitely want to be careful in those.
Yeah.
And then I think one of them that I'm really also very interested in is that self-paced kind of training where I'm actually in an environment, but I'm reaching certain milestones or points, which the system itself can say I got to, which that for me is, well, I can give you an assignment, Jeremy, and I can say, go do these things. But when you have a system showing that I've actually achieved that result, that's success.
Yeah, that's exactly.
What are use cases might be packed into there that I might have missed? You said sales enablement, sales, engineering.
No, so I mean, so first of all, you touched on them. It's, you know, customer training. Let's start from the beginning. We essentially impact the entire customer journey from being a prospect to the onboarding to ongoing education. So as you start from the beginning, you start with the partner side, where partners can use us, or the sales engineers team, sales enablement side is using us to do the hands-on demos. And be able to track POCs throughout the environment, throughout their, you know, the life cycle. And then it could be used again for the onboarding and customer training. And that, you know, that definitely plays is a major part of, you know, who we are, as well as ongoing ongoing cases, ongoing training as well. And you touched on a really great, you brought up a really great point. So the aspect when it comes to self-paced, we've seen, and I'm sure you've seen this as well, a major trend towards self-paced as a big part of how people are using doing customer training and customer education, because you want to keep scaling for various reasons. Obviously, your customer education, your training programs, but you're like, how do I do it? There's only, you know, so many individuals that can run the training through like a virtual instructor led training. And it could be, you know, it's costly to bring in more people to continue to run the program. But when you have self-paced programs, you're able to kind of set it up and go. And what we've enabled is a whole set of automations, capabilities where essentially you can, and I've seen this, you know, we actually had a whole really interesting meeting with, a use case webinar with AlgoSec is one of our customers, and they're a cybersecurity platform. And what they've allowed users to do is they go into the website, okay, or they have access to, you know, the classes. They go in, they've signed in, they've clicked on the class to get going. And once they've clicked to get going, an environment's automatically spun up for them. That's based off of the class they are looking to run, okay? Mm-hmm. The student receives this environment in his email, opens it, and starts working on it. And then what they can do is we have, usually, obviously, I have to use the buzzword of the day, AI. So we have an AI component into it that allows, yes. So if anybody's working at home waiting for that to check off, okay, AI is done.
Bingo card here.
Exactly. So what it allows you to do is, let's say, you know, your student will go in and they'll do, you know, a module. They've done one part of the lesson where they're supposed to complete an exercise, and they want to make sure they got it correct. So you as an instructor will have taken a picture of what the correct version is supposed to look like and upload it into CloudShare. And then when the student is going through, our AI element will then check after they said, oh, I've completed it, check if it's correct. And we've made sure that even no matter how it looks, as long as you have that right one element correct within that box, it'll, you know, make sure it's there. So right now, customers are usually using it for kind of low stakes certification programs. And we understand what it's going to take to get to the high stakes, because when it's high stakes, there's a lot more at play. So hopefully we'll get going there soon. It's definitely on the roadmap. But having being able to automatically check to make sure that everything goes smoothly is a huge burden, a huge time saver for, you know, the instructors. So that's where self-paced is obviously playing a major role in how our users are using it. And again, we see a higher trend towards self-paced. And I wish my VP of product was here right now. At the meetup, she actually showed, interestingly, so we're not, you know, the jump isn't so significant. You know, it's definitely growing steadily in terms of self-paced. But where we're seeing the bigger jump is actually not the number of courses, but the number of students being in it. So if you have if you're a virtual, an instructor-led class, you're kind of limited in some ways because you're only effective at a certain level, you're only comfortable at a certain level of how many students are in it at a time to be able to run it. With a self-paced, you can have that single class be for 100 people because you have elements already running in the background to make sure everything runs smoothly. The automation aspect for both the AI, but also for the content, the creation of the virtual lab, etc., is extremely helpful. So, you know, if anybody's also looking for the, other checks boxes, REST, we have the REST API, we have an LTI 1.3 integration. So we have the technological capabilities that allow for automation at a scale that eases a huge burden on off of a lot of people's backs.
This is the kind of stuff we couldn't do 10 years ago, or maybe even five, where when I hear about that, Jeremy, I really appreciate that. This is that AI overlay that's really helping us out. Something that immediately comes to mind for me is all of these enablement programs that we have. And I want to get back to certification a little bit later. And the challenge that we have when we're training people is I can't go and physically look. Well, I can, but I don't want to go and look around at everybody's screen. If I was in a VM or a virtual environment on a webinar, that's going to take me time. So I'd need to have people to go and confirm all that. But now I can do that by having AI look at things similar to other systems that are starting to look into proctoring, or they're listening for keywords or phrases. And this opens up that doing part. It's not me saying or showing, it's me actually doing something that's triggering the, hey, you were successful, Jeremy, you did the thing, you got the output, now move on to the next step. Or if I didn't get that output, maybe that could cue. So when you're in those kinds of environments for the self-paced training, is that typically you're either watching along with an instructor, or now it's self-paced, I can have a video that's running and I can have some kind of branching logic to say, oh, well, I screwed that up. And theoretically be able to branch people off and say, okay, hey, we see what you did here. You got this number. You know what that means? Is that kind of the future state of where we're going with all this capability?
I think so. And I think that, it's like definitely some very cool, we have those elements already built in, but you can go in that direction. And as you said, I actually went to SEDMA, I believe it was 4 years ago when I first started CloudShare, SEDMA UK. And I remember talking to somebody there and he said, my virtual lab is a black box. I have zero clue what's happening inside it. And I would love to know what is happening with my students and to see if they're progressing. And, that's where we're at now within CloudShare. Not only, let's say that person screwed up, we have a hint that says, oh, well, here's, where you're kind of wrong. And that allows them to learn from it. And again, and with the content itself, I actually heard, Cecilio Mills from Trillix. He's the VP of training there, and he actually had he came in to our office and actually talked to us recently, and he made an excellent point about like the most important part of education is we're like, okay, here's a video, here's a PDF, or here's how you should learn it, and we're like coming to them, we're forcing them to learn it in the way we want them to learn it, because we gave it to them in a video or we gave them to PDF. Whereas right. when you give it, what we've built also is you can have either have a video, or you can have a PDF there, or you can have some just written language or some drawings, however you want, whatever multimedia thing there, so that you could put that in there, and then your students can look at that in whichever way they want to learn, And obviously the hands-on part is there, but bring them the options to learn how to do it within our within our environment, and then you can kind of move them along and actually check their progress along the way as well. But I think that needs to continue to be in the forefront of any customer educator or any educator in general. Like I know I'm a much more visual learner than my wife. My wife's she's a math person. She looks at numbers and gets it. For me, I'm like, I need a little, like, show me the cookies being removed, show me that those elements. and it's very tricky to do, to make sure, because you have a while, you're training 15, 20 people at a time, and I have to make sure everybody understands at the same time. But they come from different ways. So being able to have those different elements available can be extremely powerful, I think, for your training.
Yeah, it goes without saying, Jeremy, that that has opened up and unlocked a new superpower for customer education professionals, because I'm channeling my earlier self, particularly in the classroom. I used to teach at a Webster University in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Midwest, in the United States. And I ran these kinds of class. I taught video game design. I taught database design, web design, all these things. And one of the things that was a tendency is for somebody in that setting to hide. And I felt this, oh gosh, I screwed up. I'm embarrassed. And now I don't want to talk to a human being. I figured out what it was, or I didn't. And that's why I'm not doing well in this class. And these kinds of things allow you that practice to break things up. I have all the guides and the tooling to self-serve as much as possible. Mm-hmm. But then also, the thing I've always told my students, and this expands on to my field, my philosophy that I'm in now, is I want you to fail the first time. I want you to struggle, because through that you learn better. And you only, like you're what you're just saying, learning hands-on, doing the thing, makes it so all of the things click in place. And you go, oh, I did that. Oh, I see what you're talking about. Snap, it all comes together, particularly if you do that a few times. So we're breaking up a lot of this human resistance to being exposed. You know, a lot of like certifications and stuff terrify me. Test taking terrifies me. I'm well at it, but I still have that anxiety. But now we're getting people all of those tools that they would not otherwise have 10, 15, 20 years ago when we're trying to do virtual instruction, and we're really being more efficient about it too at the same time. This is really cool. Let's move on to the last point here that I'd like to talk about, which is, we're not specifically talking about cloud share all the time. What are the best practices that come into play when, let's say you have somebody listening to this goes, yeah, I'm going to try CloudShout, and this is why. What are the best practices that make using such a platform such a powerful asset in my toolkit?
Okay, great question. So honestly, one of the best practices is that we were talking about recently with a company is oftentimes, and this applies actually, I think, anywhere, and not just for CloudShare, I think it applies across the board, is you often have more content than you realize that you can continue to reuse and reuse and reuse, and it can still have an impact.
Right.
And I think that's a best practice is to look at what you have and kind of say, okay, before we reinvent the wheel for the fifth time, you know, talking about bicycles, you know, you only need to invent the wheel once and that bicycle is going to move. You just to make sure that you have the right elements, the right content available, and say, okay, have we built this already? Can we tweak it to work so that, you know, we're able to give the value over without overexpanding our own resources? That's
you like one the best lab itself, like that experience.
Is what you're exactly, about? Exactly. See what you have. Look at what you have, and kind of try to work with it, because there are technologies that allow you to kind of bring it over that you don't have to keep bringing it multiple times. That's one best practice. And the other is measure. I think that's I think it's so underrated. I mean, it's both overrated and underrated, because you always say, okay, you know, people talk about data, but then they don't actually do the measurements. And I think having it's amazing. Like, or you have all this data, you don't know what to do with it. I think we're in this is the age of information, right? And part of the age of information comes with a lot of data. We talk about numbers all the time, and we're all measured by numbers. I don't know what your boss is making you do, but I'm sure they, you know, there are KPIs that are set, and they say, okay, we have to hit these numbers, and we have to hit this, and it's really important to know what you're measuring and how to measure it, and having the tools to be able to properly measure it. And sometimes, we try to make sure that you go into it being armed with those tools, because with those numbers. So I know that, definitely the biggest discussion that I heard in SEDMA that hasn't stopped since like in the past 4 years since I've been going there. And other people have said as well, one of our friends, she said like literally the same conversation every year, but they use different terminology. And it's always about how, you know, we have to do more with less. So how do we make sure that, you know, we're proving that we're accomplishing more and we're doing more, and the measurement and being able to prove yourself, because customer education seems to always be, you know, people knock it down a peg within an organization. You know, sometimes the first to get the cut and gain the respect, and being able to measure your success and saying, and be able to tie it and say, okay, because I trained these people on our software using a virtual lab, we have seen a 40% increase in retention between people who are trained and people who are untrained. So, you know, being able to measure that success is really key, and going into it with a mindset of, okay, I'm going to train these people on the, you know, on my software. I'm going to also prove to anybody else, any executives, that this is worth it, that my time is worth it, that the resources are worth it. And this is how I'm going to prove it. I spent this much on the virtual lab and I charged 3x or 5x, and plus retention has increased, or churn has reduced, or support tickets have been reduced, whatever, you know, whatever your measurement, keep that in mind and measure it and prove your worth along the way. I think that's some of the biggest, you know, in my mind, that's one of the best practices out there.
Yeah. And with your platform, I see that we have dashboards and reporting, plus you already mentioned the API.
Yeah.
So that I could say, the way I look at it is a learning intervention is an activity that was done. It has this duration, it has this outcome. And then now I can feed that back into whatever data warehouse that I have, ascribe it to product usage data downstream, and say, a lot of times in customer ed, we have built-in A/B testing. Because you know a lot of people will not go to the platforms and the tooling that we use, and they'll just struggle. Why? Yeah. You know, I've been there. You get busy. You don't think about it until you need to. And that you can now show, okay, that, for like you were just saying, the virtual lab cost me all this, blah, blah, blah. Those are the table stakes. That's the money we spent. But now I can see an uptake in X percent of these accounts that attached and used this product to this point, achieving these milestones. And now I know how to expand on that because I have a data-driven system.
Exactly.
Right?
100%.
And you also have, and this is really important to say, Jeremy, because again, you're trying to do this in a webinar, or you're trying to do this like I did, where you're on site or something. You can only, I mean, maybe you can track data, but you'd have to go around with the clipboard and go, okay, yep, Jim got to that, Jane got to that point, okay, we got to this, or have people self-report and say they got through the milestones. But usually when I was in experiences, I was so bottlenecked by the fact that I had to teach that I didn't have time to go and look at the analytics of people, what they're doing. Now we have full visibility on that, all of it. You're in the environment, whatever I'm saying I want to collect, I can see that, which really helps me to get to that next level. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really, I think it's important, as I said, like to prove what you've gained, prove what you've done. And have those numbers available.
So I want to do with a couple edges here, and then lead out with how you really see how you differ in the market, and what I've already seen all the value that you have, but like what's that killer thing? Before then, who might this not be for? That if you say, oh, that looks pretty cool, and I want to try it, are there people that would be filtered out of that, and that lab might not be a good environment?
Oh, I'll be honest. So technologically right now, for example, I don't know if it's worth it for, let's say, SaaS platforms. Simple SaaS platforms. We currently are not there technologically. We have some elements to it. But I think right now that's the first filter that we kind of put up there. It's not really right now for you. You can create a sandbox environment off of your own SaaS platform. Oftentimes, it might take a little more work, but I think that's currently one of the filters there.
You mentioned soft skills before too.
Like exactly. So L&D, again, less so as well. We don't work with HR companies. This is really for virtual labs, is much more about the hard skills of learning technology. and learning direct skills and not necessarily about soft skills. It's hard skills. That's another area that I would say.
That's that. Yeah, that's what I want. I like to have people self-select a little bit because, you know, I know the kind of tooling that I'd need, what I'd absolutely need this for. You know, I'm setting up an AWS server. I'm doing these things. I'm putting the stuff into it. There's like a really complicated work stream, but there it can, your platform can handle that. Whereas if I'm just doing a manager training now, I don't think so. The other thing I think that we talked about that was very useful for, it is not just that kind of technical training, but it also really adds value into programs where you're getting some kind of certification, because now you're showing demonstrable proof that someone not just recording a video of themselves doing the thing and now I'm going to have to watch it. We can actually have those endpoints in there to say, like you said, that screenshot, does it look like that? Yep. Move on to the next one. Did you get the next one? Yep. Move on to the next one. Now I've got like an index of all the things that I did, and I can actually prove that I know what I'm talking about. Particularly, I mean, have you ever seen anybody do that in a proctored environment, using that as kind of like a speed run through an application?
I have not as much, but I definitely have seen it being used that way.
Yeah, you could even time people getting through things. That
yeah.
I'm not trying to make it ridiculous, but believe it or not, I spent a lot of time in the video game industry running tournament events, and we did all kinds of little crazy things. But being able to track and prove what people got to and what they did at certain times within a video game as an app was important to us. We didn't have a way to do that except watching them.
We actually have that capability. You can definitely track how long you've actually spent, how long a student spent in it. Before we had the AI element in it, we actually set it up that it was, you could track it based, you would say, okay, this should only take 5 minutes, and it would flag if somebody took 7, 8, or 9 minutes on it. So you have that capability as well.
That's actually really important, Jeremy, because we talk to all kinds of time-based metrics. I'm a scientist, obviously, because I got a jacket to prove it, 2 degrees. But that time to first value is one thing that we talk about, but a struggle with an application that if I say, okay, well, I've got 10 users and they've all went through the application and they spent time in it. Well, a whole bolus of them took over 10 minutes to do something we thought should take 3. And now we have the analytics to go back and look at that the customer experience in a wholly different way by people going through these formative exercises. And actually, you know, there's all kinds of cool use cases I could see coming out of that.
Yeah.
Really neat stuff. All right. Well, we should start wrapping up now. And what I'd like to do now is just give you the forum to again, talk about that value prop, the real differentiation, why, hey, you know, I've used CloudShare. My company uses CloudShare. I see all kinds of people use it. It's top industry standard. We're getting a lot of mileage out of it. What do you think of those killer things in your app that really helps everybody and would encourage a discussion with you?
Yeah. So I can tell you there's 6 main things I would say that we, I don't know how much time we have, but I'll hit on them quickly.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, fine.
So, you know, first of all, the easiest, you know, from the operational side, the simple UX with integrated content is really really important and improves our engagement. So, you know, because it reduces the overall learning curve for non-technical learners, it allows a lot more people to see time to value. I think that's definitely something big, especially in cybersecurity, where I need to get my people up ASAP because the technology is changing constantly, and I need to make sure they understand it quickly. Otherwise, you know, they just bought my product, and now I need them to understand how to use the product. Otherwise, that malware is going to destroy them, and I'm going to get in trouble. So, reducing that learning curve with a simple UX and integrated content is huge for the time to value there. I would say another big part for a lot of people signing up, as I mentioned before, is our automations. So, having our API and LMS automations for both environment and the content creation is really important in terms of operational efficiency, which is something that people are really looking out for. And of course, the AI part, is really, obviously a lot of companies are starting to do more of it. I love ours. People love ours. It's a really been impactful in terms of training assessment. So I would definitely say that's a major part. And then obviously for those out there who are like saying, okay, how do I need to save money, save money. And we talked about the self-paced and the biggest part for the self-paced is like, oh my gosh, it's going to cost me so much money. They're going to have this environment open and it's going to run and it's going to run and it's going to run. And you're like, oh man, so much money is leaving my pocket. So what we actually have is we have, you know, policies that allow you to kind of set how much time before the environment shuts down or takes a break. And so you're not using money. So I think that's really, you know, you can have a run for a year, and it's only technically running for as long as somebody's actually in the environment. So you're not using money on spending money on time that you don't have. So that's huge. It's the basic hygiene that you need to have going on here. So that policy.
That one caught me a couple of times, for it to be frank. Hey, you set up a VM and then, oh no, I didn't shut it. Oh no, that's $100 gone. I'm going to get in trouble.
Exactly. Especially with, a lot of some of the cloud-based systems, they don't have it. Some of the, cloud providers, they don't have that. We have that. We have the built-in. So you can go to sleep easy tonight knowing, you're not going to run up a bill. And it's all customizable. And the other two big parts are, obviously, we talked about the out-of-the-box dashboards, both for operational and business data. So you're able to actually prove your training impact overall and also improve it. So you can see who's using it, how much time is being spent in each blueprint. Is this blueprint, sorry, getting a little technical, but the blueprint is the baseline for what it's going to look like. The template. Thank you. That's the best term. Is this template gain a lot of use, or is it not gaining a lot of use? Not gaining a lot of use, we can drop it. So you can improve the operational side, but you can also improve the training side itself based off all this data. Make all your CFO happy, going, oh, see, good ROI directly here. We can prove it. And of course, I think the last part is that can be used across the entire customer journey, as I mentioned before, from the start to the finish. And as with all this together, some companies are shifting business models from that cost center to the break even or, P&L kind of paradigm. So we're kind of allowing that to happen with CloudShare. So, your prospect will come in, they'll open it, and it's the same system that they can use for, as a prospect, for a demo, for the onboarding, and for the ongoing training.
That's fantastic. Okay. That's a lot, actually.
It's a lot. Yeah. Yeah. I packed in a lot here.
But I dig that, because that shows a very clear, it's not just you're doing this one thing. You've got six or more different aspects. You can do all these different things to the platform. What I encourage people to do is go out and think about where you at, or you're in your journey. Where I was at is that exactly like you talked about, Jeremy. I was at that point where I had a battery of 6-7 trainers doing training all the time. It wasn't, well, training can scale in some ways if you affect a partner ecosystem and you get people outside your company, but it's expensive and it takes a lot of individual time to do. Whereas I could have a smaller set and leave a smaller set of red carpet style trainers who are going to be your emissaries and actually maybe helping build those labs because they know how to do it best, but then allow ourselves to focus our time with customers that may need more help or have trickier situations that we need to get in there and do more work. All right. I think we've done a really great, this was really great. Thank you for your time. This is great to talk about virtual labs. I think it's really one of the important tools in your toolkit to have, for just from practical experience at multiple places I've been at. If you're not checking it out and putting it under your radar, I would. So, okay. To close out, Jeremy, is there anything, a special link you want people to go to, or any place that you'd say, come check us out?
Yeah, definitely. Go to cloudshare.com/LP/CE lab. And you can learn more about the virtual lab. come to our homepage. We have a lot of information there. And of course, we actually have a buyer's guide for, you know, people looking for a virtual lab that we'll, you know, we'll make available there as well. So you can learn, we'll give you the tools and to help you kind of make that decision. Because if you're deciding, you got to know what you want to buy for.
Yeah. Make some education qualified leads, as Kenny loved to say. Okay. Jeremy, thank you so much for this time. This was really valuable. And hopefully, audience, you get a lot out of this too. Go talk to CloudShare if you're looking at it. And let me do a normal outro. If you want to learn more, we of course have our podcast website at justcustomer.education. There you can find all kinds of material. We're part of a broader customer education community where you can learn, connect with, share ideas. We've got all kinds of things. You can always find me and our friends on LinkedIn. Special thanks to Alan Coda, who has continued to make us some great music for this show. And once again, it really helps us out if you give us a recommendation, give us that 5-star rating on Apple, wherever you're at, tell people about us. We're trying to find the others. Make sure that folks like you, we're a breed of people that often get stuck in different departments. We don't know our people. Go reach out, explore, find your folks. And thanks so much for checking us out today. Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.